We're going to turn to several passages tonight. We are going to land in James, but to begin with, we're going to start in the book of Exodus. So I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 20 tonight. Exodus chapter 20. The subject of tonight's message is going to be that of oaths and swearing. And James in chapter 5 and verse 12. I'll read it now. You don't have to turn there, but we'll land there again. It says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." And this has been an interesting study. There's several different interpretations on this passage. You may have one that differs than mine. I will seek to give us some basic principles to practice and what I believe to be God's directives here in His Word. But to begin with, I'd like us to look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Now again, the context is that of the giving of the law. This is specifically is that of the Ten Commandments. And this is very clear instruction. I don't think anybody will disregard this. It's clear instruction from the Lord. And verse 7 of chapter 20 says this, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now, as we look at that commandment, we understand something that is important, and that is that the name of God, that the very character of God, and we understand, don't we, that the name of God speaks of the character of God. And so, the very character of God is not something to be tossed around carelessly. It is something to be valued. It is something that is to be respected. And so the instruction here in the negative is do not take or carry along the name of the Lord. The Lord is in all caps. Notice that is Jehovah, Yahweh. That is that high name of God that the scribes wouldn't even want to write. Lord, thy God in vain. For the Lord, Jehovah God, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Very clear that God is establishing himself, his name, his character as that of being above all else, of being worthy of all respect and honor. The command is given to people, specifically in the context given to the people of Israel. They have just been delivered from Egypt. And they are subject to God and His authority. He indeed is guiding them, isn't He? He is their direction. He is their protection. He is their provision. He's providing their food. He's providing their water. And He wants them to know that He is above all else, and must be respected and honored. With that in mind, let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 11. Leviticus 19:11, it says, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another, and you shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Notice here, context is very similar in the midst of commandments, and this another clear commandment. You shall not swear by my name falsely. And in other words, what that is speaking of something that is false and using God's name and God's character to back that up, to back up your statement. You shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane or make dirty, rub in the mud and the dirt of falsehood the name of thy God. I am the Lord. There is to be a separation, total separation. Notice verse 11, neither lie one to another. We were not to deal falsely anyway. But God in His wisdom and omniscience, He knows people. And He knows that we have a tendency to lie, to tell falsehoods. And we like to kind of hide them behind something respectable. That's the whole idea of hypocrisy, isn't it? Hypocrisy is living a lie behind the guise of something respectable. Go to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. Verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. So notice in Leviticus, it was forbidden to swear falsely, to profane the name of the Lord, to link the name of the Lord with something that was false or something that you could not guarantee would happen. Here, what we see is that a man, if he vows a vow, was bound to keeping it. The Lord is linked to truth. Indeed, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God must be linked to truth. And here in Numbers, Moses is speaking to the people. And if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Finally, Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 23. Verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Verse 22, but if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Notice the emphasis upon the integrity, the sincerity of our lips. What we are to say is to be yes or no, yes or no. That is what we are to be. We are to be people of our word. I want you to notice in this passage in Deuteronomy that it is perhaps suggested that you don't even need to vow the vow, that you don't even need to speak the oath. Now, let's go back to James. James chapter 5. Now, those passages that we just looked at were all in the five first books of the Old Testament, the books of the law, books of Moses. And those were very important to what group of people? The Jews. James is writing primarily to a Jewish audience. to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, James 1:1. So these kinds of statements, these kinds of things are important and very applicable to a Jewish audience. So James chapter 5, and one other note to make clear. James is commonly thought to be have been written in the first half of the first century, one of the earliest books to have been written, even before the Gospels. So much of James, in fact, primarily all of James, where he speaks of the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus says, we believe he takes from oral discourse or from his own experience of hearing the Lord Jesus. We do believe that James was the half-brother of the Lord. So with that in mind, in that timeline, we go to verse 12 and we read this. But above all things, my brethren, I want to stop right there. We automatically are going to ask this question: how does this fit in the context of James chapter 5? How does this work? I mean, we have been talking about patience under suffering. We just looked at Job and how he was patient and endured. We looked at how the Lord is merciful, how the Lord is kind. And then in verse 12, James writes, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. We can make this inference, and that is this, that when people are under great stress and under suffering, they will say things that don't always make sense. They will go to great lengths to do things that aren't always the most wise things to do. Indeed, that could have been possible here in this situation, and James is issuing this clear directive. Do not swear. Behold, or but above all things, that is putting emphasis, this is something important. My brethren, term of endearment, my fellow believers in Christ, swear not, neither by heaven. All right, so we're talking about here declaring something and using something else to be witness of it. Swear not, and he gives this list, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. Now, keep your finger in James and go to Matthew chapter 5. Nimble fingers tonight as we spend time looking through the Word here. Matthew chapter 5, listen to verse 33. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking here. And I emphasize the timing of James and the Gospels. Remember, James, we believe, was written before the Gospel of Matthew. And so I want you to notice something here. Matthew records this, these words of Jesus. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time that thou shalt not forswear thyself or swear falsely thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, remember the context here is Jesus is taking things that are commonly believed to be okay by the religious community, and then he is giving God's perspective, God's directives on those things. That's the context here in the Sermon on the Mount. So he says, you have heard it this way, thou shalt not swear falsely, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, in other words, this is of God. This is God's clear directive. Swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. And I read one commentator that added, or make another grow. Verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, or yes, yes, no, no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Sound familiar? It's very interesting, the link between the Sermon on the Mount and the book of James in several cases. But of course, this very much so shining out as James bringing us to remind, to remember what the Lord Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount. Back to James. He's emphasizing this as something very important to his brethren. They are not to swear neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. And the Lord Jesus clarified, or the Lord Jesus' statements were a little bit more detailed. I mean, it is because heaven is where God resides. All of these things are connected to God in some way. The earth is his footstool, Jesus said, neither by any other oath. James agreeing or stating what Jesus said, let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. That could be translated, lest you fall under judgment. So, the obvious question that we need to ask ourselves is, what does this mean? What does this mean? First of all, as you interpret the scriptures, you want to ask, what does this mean to the original audience, the original eaters, the readers, those that were reading this epistle? And I do believe that they were under great stress. They had a tendency to exaggerate, to say things, to do things that were not always the wisest. And perhaps this practice of saying oaths was continuing on. We do know that the Jews, this was a very common practice. And what had happened was that they had developed a certain system of, they would not swear an oath using God's name. Because that was obvious, okay? Because then you would take a chance of taking God's name in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments. We can't go there. So what they would do is they would not bind themselves to that. They would go to lesser things, quote unquote. Heaven, earth, Jerusalem. And Jesus was addressing those things in his statements in the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus is going to the heart, Jesus is going to the heart of the matter, and that is this. You need to be people of your word, and there is no need to be swearing for anything. Because if you are a person of integrity, a man of truth, then when you say yes, then the people will believe you are saying the truth. They will take you at your word. One commentator adds these notes. It appears, however, from this passage, as well from ancient writings of the Jewish rabbis, that while the Jews professedly adhered to the law, they had introduced a number of oaths in common conversation. In other words, in person-to-person conversation, not in public. And the oaths which they by no means considered to be binding. So it was just flippant. Flippant swearing, flippant oaths. They didn't consider it to be binding. So long as they kept from swearing by the name of Yahweh, and so long as they observed the oaths publicly taken, they seemed to consider all others as allowable and allowably broken. Now, what kind of culture is that going to encourage and develop? If in our common conversations, we are commonly saying things, giving commitments, and basing those things upon, and making oaths upon, I swear I will do this on my father's dead body, or what, or my dead body, whatever it might be. You make these oaths out there. Why? You do that, and when you do that, what that does is put up this front of, is this a man really of his word? Because in essence, it's not necessary, and it shouldn't be, to say those kinds of flippant things. You see, the heart of the matter, and I believe what Jesus is getting at, and I believe what James is getting at, is that we must be people of our word. Period. Some principles to take home. We first of all know very clearly that the Bible forbids the careless use of God's name. Believers, we need to stay far, far away from the careless use of God's name. Flippantly using the name of Jesus, Christ, God, or inferring His character in any way. He is our God, and He is worthy of all respect. And we need to be people set apart in our language, in the way we speak. As we consider oaths, I believe the emphasis of Jesus and of James here in this text is the forbidding of the flippant and careless use of these oaths. The reason I say that is because the Apostle Paul, throughout his writings, he made statements like this. And this was the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He made statements like this: "For God is my witness." Romans 1:9. "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul." 2 Corinthians 1:23. "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." 2 Corinthians 11:31. "Again, think you that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." 2 Corinthians 12:19. Galatians 1:20. "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not." Philippians 1:8. "For God is my record." The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is using some very strong language, bearing God as his witness that he is declaring the truth. Now, with that being said, Apostle Paul is very different in us in this way. He was an apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's truth. He was declaring truth for the first time to people that had not heard it. And he was verifying that this was of God. There was at no time a careless use of it. Dear ones, if we resort to the careless use of God's name or even of oaths and swearing, it shows that we need to work on our character. Because if we feel that we have to back up our statements or things by just flippant words of swearing or saying things or using God as my witness, what you're saying is that my life is not enough. My witness is, my life and testimony is not enough. I need to invoke God into this process. And dear ones, that's a dangerous place to be. Because remember, God is not, must not be linked with falsehood. Always with the truth. And there are very few things that we can guarantee in our lives because we're mere humans. There's very few things that we can guarantee that we will follow through completely, and we add God behind it. We must be careful with that. One of the most common vows that we know of today is those vows that we say on our wedding day, right? I'm sure that has crossed your mind as you have thought about this. And that is, this whole subject brings all of this subject of marriage and how marriage is falling apart in our days. It shows a lack of integrity for those of there's those vows that have been declared and stated at the altar before God. I don't believe they are carelessly said, but I believe that we need to take to heart the things that we bind ourselves to, realizing that God takes these things very seriously. So much so that He emphasized to the Pharisees and to the disciples, swear not. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And James agrees with that here. So bottom line, let your testimony and your life speak. May you be a man, may you be a woman of integrity. Begin to back away from oaths and swearing. It's not necessary. It shouldn't be necessary in your life. Discourage your children from using that kind of language. It's not necessary. Allow your testimony to speak.